now from Syria's border with Jordan to its border with Turkey, and a very different kind of safe haven. It's for Syrian activists once bent on building a democratic society. While they haven't yet given up that dream, many have been forced to flee Syria and are now doing their part from afar. NPR's Kelly McEvers visited a house that's a way station for such exiles.
It's called Beit Kamishlu, or the House of Kamishli. It's named after a city in northeastern Syria. But the house isn't in Syria. It's in Turkey, not far from the Syrian border. The house is pretty humble. Concrete blocks, tile floors, Arabic slogans taped on the walls, read here by an interpreter.
Beit Kamishlu is a house for everyone. It's a window to Syria's future. Under one roof, we plant life together and freedom. We write on its wall together.
More than just ideas, Beit Kamishlu is a hostel, a place for Syrians who've escaped their country to crash until they find more permanent digs. It's an education center where young Syrian refugees take English and art classes on the weekends. And it's a performance space where readings, speeches, and debates fill the night. On this night, it's Tales of a Prisoner, a recurring series featuring men and women from the previous generation of Syrians who opposed their government. Young Syrians from around the country huddled to listen on couches and plastic chairs in a spare and smoky room warmed by an electric heater. The speaker is Malik Dagestani, a self-described communist who opposed the regime of Hafez al-Assad, the father of Syria's current president, Bashar al-Assad. Dagestani was detained for his political activity in 1987 and held for 9 years. Dagestani says he was beaten and tortured so badly in the first days of his detention that he couldn't walk or even stand for weeks. He eventually was transferred to a prison he calls a storage place for thousands of others like him. A year later, he was able to pay someone to smuggle in letters. That's when he first saw a picture of his second daughter, who was born while he was away. To pass the time in prison, Dagestani and his colleagues studied English, fashioned musical instruments out of wood scraps, made candles from marmalade jars, and put on plays. By the time he got out, he didn't know what a fax machine was flabbergasted by the Windows operating system. The day of his release, Dagestani called his house, but only his youngest daughter was at home. This is your father. Who? Your father. Who? He called his oldest daughter. I am your father, he said. I was just released. But she just handed the phone to someone else. She didn't know what to do. Like so many Syrians, the founder of Beit Kamishlu did time in prison, too. He's a jolly man with an infectious grin who goes by the name Abu Rahman. Abu Rahman's latest detention was just as Syria's uprising began back in March 2011. There he met activists and political organizers from around the country. Abu Rahman says he founded Beit Kamishli to repeat what he learned in prison, that nationalism isn't something that comes from the state, but rather something you learn from each other. He started the prison series so the elder generation could finally speak out about what happened to them. He hopes young activists who crash at Beit Kamishlu can learn from people like Malik Dagestani. After Dagestani's speech, an activist asks him if he thinks it was worth it to suffer for what he believed in, especially now that the new generation has risen up with no intention of turning back. If we knew how many people would die, he says, we might have told them not to start this uprising. Now the men with guns are the heroes. How will we go back from that? It's people like Dagestani and places like Beit Kamishlu that Western countries say they hope to support. So far, Abu Rahman says he relies on donations from friends. He says the house costs about $400 a month in rent and about the same again for heat and electricity. But he says the money is about to run out. The U.S. State Department says it aims to provide, quote, non-lethal assistance to unarmed civilians and grassroots organizations aimed at building a nationwide network of diverse activists. So, Abu Rahman says, what about us? Kelly McEvers, NPR News.